This program was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local programs, go to our website, freshfm.net, or download the Access Internet radio app.
Good afternoon, welcome to Friday Focus, broadcasting from the Golden Bay studio. We're kindly sponsored by Solly's Golden Bay Dolomite. And if you don't know what dolomite is, it's a great soil conditioning fertilizer made out of rock that comes just past Collingwood. It's got magnesium in it and calcium. It's good for getting your soil into a state where it will grow things. If you'd like to know a bit more about that, ring up Solly's, talk to Ross. Ross would love to help. Okay, yeah, we're on Fresh FM, broadcasting from Tākehua, like I said. You can also listen on air, freshfm.net. And today in the studio, we have my old friend Rodney Ward, who grew up in Tākehua and is now living in Papua New Guinea. And he's been working there for some years. And hi, Rodney.
How are we going, Mark?
Very good, thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks for the invite. Loving it.
Good, good. I'm glad to have you back. Yeah, for people who have been around, they'll remember Rodney. Rodney owned the store in the middle of town, Teletrix, and repaired and sold whiteware and stuff. It still owns the building, which is now Mariposa. And, yeah, comes back occasionally, but mostly lives overseas and been working overseas for quite a long time now. How long, Rodney?
Just clicked up 12 years. Spent some time in the Middle East and Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Egypt, and then got picked up and went to PNG, which was knocking 8 years ago now.
Yeah, all pretty exotic places. How did you find the change in, quite complete change in cultures?
I thought you were going to say change in temperature.
No.
That was what I was going for.
Yeah, no.
No, it's from excesses in the Middle East to not excesses in PNG. Very, very interesting in two totally different countries that you'd poles apart, really.
Yeah. When you say excesses, what do you mean by excesses in the Middle East?
excesses in opportunity, excesses in wealth, excesses in lifestyle, things I was totally unaccustomed to coming from here.
Yeah.
The Arabs certainly have a lot of resources over there they're sitting on, and they're using them to their advantage.
Yeah, yeah, sweet. And then Papua New Guinea, like, you mean very poor, still really tribal, remote?
Very primitive in relationship to the Middle East, of course, but they're sitting on a heap of resources and things up there which they are starting to use now, very high in agriculture, gold, gas, copper, oil and things like that. So long as it's getting used the right way is a good thing for the country, but there's sort of a lot more political aspects up there which are holding the place back from what it could be. But it's a country I've seen that has the most potential out of everything.
Yeah, wow. Well, and quite different from here. Do you venture out into the hinterland? It's a big country, isn't it?
It's the second biggest island, I think, barring Madagascar, I've been lucky enough in the positions I've had in the companies that I've travelled extensively out on the islands, down the bottom Alatau and Milne Bay area, up to the Highlands, which is very high, very cold, jackets and everything on even up there. But amazing country. It's got tropics and then the chilled areas. It's got flatlands, the Markham Valley. They're doing rice production and grass, and they have cows and beef production, and it's got everything going for it.
Yeah, yeah, wow. So, it gets, like, even snow. There's, like, glaciers. Is there glaciers in Papua New Guinea?
There's no glaciers. Not in that section, no.
But there is snow, isn't there?
There was a trek they just redid recently, a Lutheran 100-year celebration of the religious process that went into there about 100 years ago, and they retraced a track, and 17 people died of hypothermia up there about 3 months ago or so.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah,
it certainly gets very chilled, which they're not used to. Not used to either.
So did I expect a few of the Lutherans died nasty deaths as well in the old days, in the 100 years ago, and they went in. That would be their, like, sending missionaries into the hills, I expect.
Sure, they didn't have Kathmandu and MacPack and McAlpine and things in those days to help out, so it would have been extremely forbidding to go in there.
Yep. How do you find language? Do you speak any local language? Does everyone speak English?
The big one up there is called Tok Pisin, but there is actually, this is a fact for you, 863 different recognised languages in PNG. It is the most language diverse country in the world.
Yeah, wow.
And you'll get one village on one side of the hill, can't actually speak to the village on the other side of the hill because very, very centralised. It's a hilly tropical area where access is very remote. I've had friends flying choppers and that up there, and they can jump from one geographic area to another in a few minutes. And it's very, very diverse that way, and people stuck to their own groups. It's very, very primitive, very, very tribal still, even to this day.
Yeah.
You can tell different people what area they come from just by their visual recognition.
Yep.
So
it's
very interesting that way, and language is exactly the same. It's been handed down generation to generation in the villages. So.
Yep. So the Tok Pisin, would you speak that in the street when you're buying stuff and, like, vegetables and,
M talk leglik amount. If you listen to it very carefully, you can pick up what they're actually saying even without knowing the language. You'll pick up enough words and phrases which they've picked up out of English.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a very butchered English.
A mishmash of all sorts of language.
Yeah. So you can actually pick up what they're saying and even if you can't fluently speak with them.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So what do you do up there? What took you to Papua New Guinea?
I was recruited out the Middle East. I'd finished a contract over there, working on a boat for the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi we were building for a few years, and then got an opportunity to run an electrical wholesaling company up there across the country. So, took the opportunity and... Yep. Loved it. Absolutely loved the place. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, well. So do you get out and about much when do you drive around? Do you fly around? Do you even when where you live, do you just go out in the town? Is it or do you like live in more separate enclaves? And
well, there's two ways of living up there. You can either jump in boots and all, which is what all good New Zealanders do when they go out and about.
Yeah.
Or you can lock yourself up in a compound. There's a lot of security issues up there.
Yeah.
I make no pretenses about that. You can live in a compound with razor wire around it, and you have security guards around. There's a lot of guns which are openly displayed in the street for security purposes. Mind you, they had that in Egypt too. We went through a garden over there, and a pack of newsies, isn't
there? I know. I've seen it myself in lots of cities. Someone's carrying a machine gun. It's not uncommon, is it? It's quite different to here. That's the thing. It's very different to here.
Yes.
You know, the first few times you see it, it's quite disconcerting. But after a while, you just get used to it.
I'm used to that now. But what you do is you try and experience as much as you can up there, because that's why you're there, for new experiences. And we go out to villages and things like that. And so long as you treat people with respect, how you would expect to be treated. Yeah. You won't have any issues. Look, if you're walking around with a gold Rolex on and a fistful of cash, you're going to have hiccups, but you'll have that in Egypt, like
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
You'll have it
anywhere
you go.
Yeah, anywhere. So, but do you do things like, do you go tramping? Would you go off into the bush?
We've been camping down beaches, just throw a tent on the beach, and so long as you've looked after the locals in that area, we bring them down things like footballs and stuff like that and give them to the kids. And if we have food left over, we leave it behind. And half the time, you know, we'd have a tent that we'd bought, and it's just a cheap budget tent.
Just
leave it because, you know, for them it's a real great asset or a commodity that they wouldn't have otherwise. And you get treated exceptionally well.
Well. So you're not scared of crocodiles? Are there saltwater crocodiles and stuff all around, and come in strange snakes? And
there's a hell of a lot of things up there that can do you a lot of damage. I saw the biggest crocodile I've ever seen. It was in a park up there, but it's one that they've sort of nurtured a bit when they captured him. And he lives in a park, and people go up there and they feed it chickens. And there's a local PNG bloke goes up there. He's missing a couple of fingers and things, but he climbs in with this crocodile, and you're talking 5-6 meters long. This is a big boy. And he goes down and he kisses it on the nose. There's occupational safety health issues or anything, or high vis vests.
Yeah, that's going to end in tears, isn't it?
I just had bad written all over it when I saw it. But he talks to this crocodile, and then he throws it a chicken, and they all sort of shake hands and walk out, and he does that twice a day.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I saw a Facebook video yesterday. Came from somewhere, some young dude letting all these, he's got like these tigers, and he opens this door and they all leap out, and he's patting them as they leap past, and they're like, you know, a meter high almost. And then the last one that comes out, he's giving it pats and stuff, and then he's sort of boofing it around the face down by the beach, and you just know at some stage the tiger's going to boof back, and it's got him all over.
That's a lottery.
Okay. Right, we're just going to have a quick break now. We're going to play a song, Rodney's Request, The Angels, Take a Long Line. Apparently you used to play this in a band in PNG for a couple of years after you moved up there, and wowed the locals with a bit of rock and roll.
This is for the late Jeff Frost.
teeth were clean, but my dentist said no, they're still...
I'd like to come out against hunger, too. I'm against starvation. Doesn't pay to be nice to me. Every night, Jungle Town, all the boogies in the street. Radio turned up very loud, playing Dancing Queen. They love our music. This English girl from the north somewhere, staying with me at my place, drinking up all my beer, talking about the poor niggas all the time. It's a real disgrace, she said. I tell her, darling, don't talk about things you don't understand. I tell her, darling, don't talk about something you don't know anything about. I tell her, darling, if you don't like it here, go on back to your own miserable little country. There is Christmas in Cape Town, but it ain't the same. Boys on the beach still blowing, the summer winds still kick the clouds around. You know my little brother, babe, works out at the diamond mine. I drove him out there 5 this morning. Niggas was waiting in a big long line. You know those big old lunch pails they carry, man, with a picture of Star Wars painted on the side. They was staring at us real hard with their big ugly eyes. You could feel it. But it ain't the same. The stores are open all the time. Little kids on skateboards cutting in and out the crowd. The Christmas lights still shine. Myself, I don't like to drink the way I used to, man, you know. Don't seem to get me high. The beer don't taste the way it ought to taste somehow, and I don't know why. Don't talk to me about the planes, man, I've heard it. Just take a look around. What we gonna do? Blow up the whole damn country? I don't know. It's Christmas in Cape Town. It's Christmas in Cape Town.
We're back again. That was Randy Newman with Christmas in Cape Town. Before that, the Angels would Take a Long Line, a song that my friend Rodney here, Rodney Ward, who's in the studio with us today, played in this a bar in PNG, Papua New Guinea, where he's been living for 8 years, did you say? Yeah, 8 years. You live on a boat too, don't you?
Yeah, I got a boat I'm slowly doing up, very, very slowly, because it's a very long job.
Yeah, and you're saying advantages of that are things like not so many mosquitoes and not so humid?
living by the sea, yeah, there's a bit more breeze. So, but mosquitoes are a huge problem up there. Yeah. Malaria is one of the big killers up there, and there's a lot of aid programs going into the country from Australia, New Zealand, the US, yeah, and lately China too has broken a lot of aid money in there for to try and help out, which is great.
So is it Bill Gates' money from America because he was doing malaria?
Yes, there is, and there's also the Hillary Clinton Foundation, and all those are putting in malaria and AIDS programs and things like that as well.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I saw the other day on Facebook someone said that the Hillary Clinton Foundation was like a corrupt cesspool of murderers or something, but that might have just been...
Could be a personal opinion.
That might have just been someone's weird personal opinion. And, don't know. Oh, yeah, so malaria kills people. Does it? Have you had malaria?
Well, I've had malaria, yeah. It's not very flash.
Yeah.
I didn't realise I had malaria. I just thought I felt a bit off colour and I went to bed, and they call it the sleeping sickness because all you want to do is sleep. And
yeah.
After 2 days of just sleeping and shaking and sweating, and then it goes into a stage where you get aching through your body, and they call it the breaking bones section of the illness.
Oh, yeah. Choice.
And I don't actually remember it, but apparently someone came in and chucked a couple of horse tranquilizer things down my neck, and that was it. And within about 3 to 4 hours, I was up and away again. I could actually walk down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So the medicine certainly does work, but it's not very flash to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had it again? Because it recurs too, doesn't it?
It's in your system for good. There is some new drugs out, they believe, which will actually take it out of your system. Whether that's true and accurate or not, I don't know.
When you first went up there, I seem to recall, could be wrong, but you were taking prophylactics. People take prophylactics for malaria, don't they?
They do. It's something you take if you're going up there maybe for 2 months or 3 months. If you stay on it long term, it'll do damage to you.
Because it's just an antibiotic, isn't it, or something like that?
But if you're on it all the time, it'll do damage to your insides. I didn't do that. I took chances on it.
Yeah,
I mean, it just takes one crook mosquito and you'll get it.
You
go to Vietnam, you go to Cambodia, the Philippines,
anywhere, Auckland almost. With climate change, that's what I suspect is we'll soon have dengue in New Zealand. I know. Because we've got more mosquitoes around here. We have mosquitoes all year round almost sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rat bags, aren't they?
I know. I don't like them. Yeah, wow. So you were selling whiteware, did you say, around PNG?
We were electrical contract supplies. So we were selling overhead lines for
proper cabling and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, plus all the domestic household fit-outs and things like that. We did all the government, the state-owned enterprise supplies.
Oh, yeah.
So it was pretty good. I was working in a second company after that for Prime Minister, had a company there, which we were looking after that for him in office products.
Yep.
Doing some building project work, and that's come to a finish.
Yep.
So I've spent some time in the Philippines doing a little build over there.
And yeah, well, you've got a family over there, eh?
Yeah, a couple of wee daughters over there, and it's all going good. So
yeah, cool.
And then come home here for a look around before I go back to a new company. So
yeah, okay. So the Philippines is a different country again. How do you think about the Philippines? Is it where you go? Rich, poor, everything, all the above.
We're in a province which is about 6 hours north of Manila. Fantastic place, Philippines. I can't rave about it enough. The people are fantastic, just lovely attitudes. It's certainly not a wealthy country across the board. There's some very well-off people and some very poor people, in fact, like PNG. New Zealand is far more spread, I'd say. There's not that huge divide between the have and have not, maybe.
Yeah. In the Philippines, is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
New Zealand, sorry.
Oh, okay.
New Zealand we don't see that as much.
Yeah.
Philippines, you see it a bit more, and PNG, you 100% see it, because PNG, 63% of the country are classed as poverty line.
Yeah.
And so there's a very big gap between the wealthy and the people who don't have very much at all. And so that's why you get a lot more violence and crime up there than what you do. and other places. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thinking on something like that, like people surviving and stuff. You mentioned the hill tribes earlier, and the fact that in quite close locations they have different languages, which must mean that they didn't really have to travel a whole distance away from where they lived. So what did they do up there? Is it easy for people to live up in these mountains? Is there abundant food around so that, or because you'd think that if they had to go a long way to find their food, they'd run into all these other villages and have to talk to them.
Yeah, no, there's anything grows up there. It's amazing. You put seeds in the ground, 2-3 days later, these things are up and growing.
Yeah, wow.
You know, you eat a watermelon, you throw the pips out, you go back there next time, there's a bunch of watermelons growing.
It's, oh, yeah, cool.
It just grows. We had our own box gardens up there, and I'd put tomato plants in. We were just eating cherry tomatoes year-round.
Yeah.
There's no seasonal things up there. Temperatures between 34 and 28 degrees the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you know what you're going to get, basically. Yeah. We had a wet season up there, which is changing, I must say that, lately. But it's generally over the Christmas time that we have here in New Zealand. There's about 3-4 months, which is the recognised rainy season.
Yeah.
Having said that, it was rainy up there about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been. It was the dry season. So, but again, that helps. And we suffer El Nino up there where the vegetables don't grow.
Yep.
Two and a half.
A frost wiped a whole lot of stuff out last year, didn't it?
Correct, yeah. And 2.5 years ago, they had an El Nino up there, which extended the dry period for them, and a lot of the vegetables didn't grow.
Yeah.
So, and there was actually people starved from that.
Wow. Yeah, like starved to death.
Starved to death.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was in these villages, remote villages, where you can't get in and out.
Can't get to, and people wouldn't even know necessarily because the temperature can be all localised too, can't it?
True. Yeah. There was major earthquakes up there recently, and they're still finding people that were affected from it. These earthquakes were a year ago.
Yeah, wow. Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's how much it changes. But that's a lot of solar product has come in there now. There's a 60% of the houses have solar lighting or communications devices up there.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most rapid expansions in the world.
Yeah.
Purely because of accessibility, where then people will have lights in the village huts.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to charge a cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I guess it gets dark quick in the tropics, and it's dark. It's really quite dark, isn't it?
It's quite dark.
And it's quite dark, yeah.
Once the sun goes
down. It's amazing what lights can do to extend your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, being on the tropics, we don't have the extended light periods that you do here. The seasonal the changes.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's all very constant. But when it goes dark up there, that's it. Yeah. Light's over.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's easy to forget. I saw Californians having power cuts for 5 days to lessen the risk of fires, because last year when there was power lines falling over in winds, that started a lot of fires, and they were predicting very similar conditions this year, so they've turned the power off to Northern California, which is
wow,
quite interesting.
That'll change things.
Yeah, you think for 5 days. It's quite a big thing. There's a lot of people there doing a lot of stuff.
We have power cuts up there all the time. Mm. Everyone has backup gen sets or solar systems.
Okay, yeah.
Because the power is very, very unstable, and 17% is actually stolen through illegal taps.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I know that from the electrical side.
Yeah, yeah. Is the power mostly hydro?
There's hydro, there's gas turbines, because they have a lot of gas moving around, which they've done, and that's basically what it is. The Australians put a lot of money and effort into the country through the 60s, 50s, 60s and that, and they built hydro dams, the Surimbiru Dam and things like that. And but again, New Zealand, the APEC that was just held up there a year and a half, 2 years ago, they actually held a world event up there, APEC, and all the leaders were up there.
Mm-hmm.
Jacinda Ardern and Winston Peters was up there. I actually had dinner with him one night. So, and they've decided to chuck a lot of money into the electrification of PNG. They want 70% done by the year 2025, I think it is.
Mm, how does it feel to want? Yeah, that's what I'd ask them.
It's a big ask.
It's a big ask, isn't it?
I can tell you that. Yeah. It's a huge ask. I can't.
Jeez.
I hope they've got a way of doing it, because you don't want to say things unless you've researched it through. But
yeah,
if they do off-grid systems, that will help out.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to have a grid over those mountains and things.
Basically impossible.
Ridiculous, yeah. Gee.
I flew over some of the roughest terrain up there with Phil Jefferson at the times, and you look down there and you think, no one's ever walked on that piece of planet ever.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing to see parts of the country that
remote
no one's
bits
ever
of the world, yeah.
Been to.
Yeah, pretty cool, hey.
And he was flying a lot of people around, like Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. Who was the other?
The boss of Google.
Yeah, that's right. Mick Jagger.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Went up there, and it's all because it is so. It's one of the last unexplored frontiers in the world.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well,
cultures that are still getting around trading in shells.
Mm-hmm.
You put that into context of our global financials.
Yeah,
these guys are swapping shells in the hills. Unheard of, yeah.
Oh, well, no, I guess it's good. We've got Hands here in Golden Bay. Have you heard of Hands?
I have heard. That was before I left here many, many years ago.
That was a long time ago. You were actually on the community board, weren't you, for the first community board?
Oh, no, there was a couple before I was through there, yeah.
Was there?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
A few elections ago now, yeah. Interesting to be on it and loved it.
Yep.
And I wish all the candidates who are standing... good on you for putting your hand up and giving it a go. No one's going to put their hand up who isn't behind the Bay. It's got to come from inside to want to do something good for the Bay. So I wish everyone success with that. And I hope if everyone is interested in it, that they put a vote in.
Yeah, me too. It's voting's important. It is having your say. Okay, we're going to have a quick song here. Let's be talking heads. Memories can't wait.
Take a walk through the peaceful meadows.
we're back after Talking Heads, good old Talking Heads. Rodney Ward's in the studio with us today. We're on Friday Focus, kindly sponsored by Solly's Golden Bay Dolomite. And if you'd like to talk to Solly's about it, give them a ring, 525 8611. Ask for Ross, Jade or Merv. They love to talk about fertiliser, particularly Dolomite. If you don't know what it is, it's a soil conditioning fertiliser. Put it on your soil, it'll raise your magnesium levels and your calcium levels. Get your percentages back up to where they should be. Your base saturations, that's the words I'm looking for. Anyway, we're here in the studio. We're not talking about fertiliser, we're talking about Papua New Guinea, where Rodney Ward has been living and working for the last 8 years. How would you describe Papua New Guinea in your words, Rodney? What would you like to say about Papua New Guinea?
Well, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
There's a saying that goes around up there, once you've done three tours of duty, which is 3 years on visa contracts, you're infected for life.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I don't know about that for sure, but it's certainly, it's a golden opportunity place. It's interesting, it's exciting. I'd sit down and I'd have in my calendar things I had to get done during the day, and you'd have 14 jobs sitting there. And at the end of the day, you check them off, you've achieved one of the 14 ticked off, but you've done 33 other things that you didn't see coming from left field.
Yeah.
It's termed the land of the unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
And so that just makes life very, very interesting, because you never know what is going to happen. Someone will have had a fight with their wife or something like that, because it's a bit of a violent culture up there. And so they won't be into work, and then you've got to figure out how you're going to mitigate all the circumstances from that. But that's one of the challenges of being up there, and if you like those challenges, it's just a fantastic place.
Yeah, that reminds me, didn't you have a price on your head at one stage up there? Didn't you have to come here and hide out for a wee while?
Not that I'm aware of, unless you know. I've had one security issue up there, I did have, because I went up there and I was new. It happened in the first 3 months, actually. I put in a team, social volleyball team, and of course we won. The men's senior open, we won that, and the ladies got runner-up in the ladies open. And so I think we got about $600 or something like that. And any social work team, what do you do with that? So, righto, let's go down to the local pizza shop.
Yep.
And we bought pizzas and we bought beers and we ate and drank the whole lot. And everyone had a great time. And then I didn't get it culturally while I was up there, because one of the ladies had gone out with the boss, so to speak, and he'd bought food and drink.
Yeah.
That was a definite no-no.
Oh, yeah.
Because it meant that I was making inappropriate play for his wife.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And so they came to work and they told me exactly how it worked up there and that I shouldn't have done it. And that was taken on board. And again, a different culture, and you learn very, very quickly about how things are done and how things aren't done up there.
Yeah.
I mean, in New Zealand, what would you do if you'd won a social basketball competition or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd all pull together and
you'd go out and have a bit of a do, wouldn't you?
You'd have a celebration of being the champs, you know? But not up there, no.
Okay, wow.
Needless to say, everybody had a fantastic time and everyone went home and they were all great.
Yeah.
But anyway, you live and learn.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You said you were in Egypt before. What did you do in Egypt?
Oh, looking around.
Yeah.
Went and saw all the usual things. Went up the Nile. And,
cruise up the Nile.
Yeah.
Sarah did that there, my sister, recently, last year, did a cruise up the Nile.
Loved it.
Yeah, loved it.
Unbelievable place that. And this was just, I was through there just before the uprising over there. So we walked through Tahrir Square.
Which uprising?
Oh, this would be back...
the one that ousted Mubarak.
Yes. Yeah, 10 years ago now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief, time goes by so fast. So we were walking through Tahrir Square and we bought some sunglasses and that, and Chelsea, I think, was about 4 years old at the time. And then you see on the news about 5 months, 4 months later, that they're shooting each other in there and they'd gone in and trashed the Cairo Museum and stuff.
Oh,
and really... It's disappointing.
Yeah, places that I know that it is when things get destroyed. I know a friend of mine who went through Yugoslavia, and it was about 1989, And he just raved about it. It was the most wonderful, beautiful place he'd ever been, in these beautiful little towns and things. And then a few years later, they were just shelling and blowing them all up, these beautiful old walled cities and towns, and they're just demolished, and he was so sad.
No one wins in a war.
Yeah, no one wins. Yes, terrible thing.
But for what you hear about PNG, this is a shout-out for PNG to promote it and support it. The Western media, they love... What sells newspapers? Bad news.
Bad news, yeah, yeah.
So anything that goes crook up there will make the front pages, particularly in Australia, because it's a close economic ties with them.
Yeah.
So if someone gets attacked on whatever, it'll make the front page, and everybody, it's a big thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting that sort of action or anything, but it sells papers. So outside of PNG, everybody has a predetermined thought of how PNG is. I can tell you right here and now, there's between 10 and 12 million people they don't know, because the census is not very accurate.
Yeah.
So you're talking double the population of New Zealand living together in primitive. So there is going to be issues.
Yeah.
But there's so much good stuff happening up there that you never ever hear
about. No, and you won't, because you're right. All we hear is if there's been some violence or some corruption, really.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. There is violence. There is corruption.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's so much good stuff going about it that you just don't know about. And that's why I'm there. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back for another tour of duty.
Oh yeah, good on you. Yeah, I think that's it about the whole world, actually. When you go to places, anywhere that you go, there's just people doing what they do to get by, raising their families, loving their families, doing stuff, and generally it's everyone's after the same things. They just want good shelter and food and some security, and you know,
Middle East was the same when I went over there. All we'd heard about was Arabs blowing stuff up. I found them to be the most hospitable people. Went out of their way to make sure that myself and family and kids and that were well looked after.
Yeah.
We had an issue on the side of the road up there one day, a medical issue with a daughter who was 5 years old at the time. This bloke pulled up, brand new SL500, took us to the hospital. There's blood all through the back of his brand new car from a nosebleed that just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
He waited 3 hours. We came out. He had my car valeted for me and all cleaned out. Yeah. He was in a brand new Persil white clean dish dash waiting for us.
Yep, wow.
And yet what I'd expected when I went over there was certainly not that. Every culture has idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single culture has idiots, and unfortunately they tend to be the ones who make the headlines.
Oh, I know. Often they rise to the top and become leaders.
You're on
you wonder how that happens, don't you? Good grief. Yeah. Yeah, well. So you're loving it. You're loving PNG. Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, because we don't really hear much about it. The odd documentary, maybe. I remember seeing one about catfish, or the suspected giant catfish up north that eating people in the rivers and things, pulling people into rivers. And there's some big rivers too, isn't there, in Papua New Guinea, like flowing up to the north?
Yeah, there's the Fly River, which goes up to the mine sites, and they have huge barges going up there. Yeah. So we're talking very, very big ocean-going vessels going up rivers.
Yeah.
Turning around, things like that. We're not talking a river that... It's not the Mochipipi River.
Yeah.
It's incredible, the water flow out of that place.
Wow.
And of course, the tropics with the heavy rainfall, these rivers.
Yeah. So what's formed the land? Is it volcanic?
It's volcanic,
Yeah. You ever been up to Rabaul?
Yeah, I've been over there a number of times. I've seen the smoking thing. I've walked across it.
Yep.
Incredible. There's a township up there which has got a metre of ash, and you drive through that and you can see the roofs of houses and huts sticking through.
I've read about it. Yeah, wow.
It's an amazing... It's you get out onto the volcano and you walk around the bottom, and it's like a moonscape. And there's birds there that bury their eggs. And the guys go out there and they dig down in the hot ash, and these eggs are incubating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow.
And it's a delicacy up there. And
oh, yeah.
These local fellas
they eat them warm, yeah.
Well, sort of pre-cooked, high pre-cooked protein.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
That's well
sort of. So don't they hatch? If they left them, would they hatch?
Yes.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, but these guys don't let them sit there that long because it's a high-protein source.
Easy pickings of food.
And well, also in Rabaul, an interesting point is that's where the Japanese in the war.
Yeah, you've had a big port there, eh?
And there's a place, I went in through these caves, there's boats up in the caves sitting on railway tracks when the Australians and the Americans come over to give them what for, they'd pull the boats out of the harbour up into the hills, and they dug massive caves inside there. There's hospital beds with just the rusting springs all hanging from these bed frames in there now.
Yep.
And it was, 'cause it's all a soft sort of a limestone, but they built it. You know, the work that went into this.
Yeah, wow.
For such a sad cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So did they slave labour all the local population and stuff like that? Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, they all gave them a hand with that, whether they liked it or not.
Oh, no, it's pretty grim. Now, I remember reading about the volcanic explosion there, and it's quite a big bay or something, and it was completely covered with pumice, like,
Floating pumice. Floating pumice. 84, I think.
Yeah.
1984 was when that went up.
Wow. What about the other end, West Papua? Have you ever been across to there? Is that it's a whole separate place, isn't it?
Totally separate. There's a line dividing the big island up the middle. There's a little dog leg in the centre where it's a bit too rough to navigate and do a geographical survey, I think. So they just went around it.
Yeah.
No, they've got certainly got some issues going on.
Is it a natural line? Is there a fence?
No.
No.
I don't think Trump's been over there.
No.
Yeah, it's two separate countries, and although there's a lot of cross-pollination of ideas and that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, but that's also quite big, isn't it? It's actually, you say, when you said Papua New Guinea's second biggest island in the world, was that including West Papua?
That's only PNG with just all the land.
Yeah, so.
Because there's a lot of islands on Papua New Guinea, which is the East New Britain, West New Britain.
Oh, yeah.
All the islands, if you tackle that as a landmass together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a serious chunk of real estate.
Yep. Yeah, because those islands are archipelago up, don't they? With Manus at the end.
Manus right at the top.
Right at the top. Yeah. I remember Philip saying he flew right up there once.
That's
delivered something.
Yeah, that's having a change of... what would you say? A change of use.
Yeah.
It's not a detention centre anymore.
Oh, yeah. So. What is it? A prison?
No. They've knocked that on the head now, though.
Oh, yeah.
PNG's apparently telling the Australians that they have to look after their own asylum seekers. They're not going to do it for them now. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a renegotiation going on there.
They'll go to somewhere called Christmas Island, I expect. There's quite a few Christmas Islands, apparently.
Christmas Island has a good ring to it because you sort of think of happy and...
Yeah, I don't think it is.
No, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe once a year.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because that is quite different. New Britain and stuff, they're still like another step away in primitiveness. There's like nothing there, is there, except some people, tribes and things?
No, there's been a lot of development out there. There was a lot of German influence back in the day when they came through in the First World War times and things like that. There's huge industry out there.
Mining.
There's a lot of mining, but there's also oil palm that's gone in. There's balsa, there's cocoa, things like that. So, and that's taking off. PNG is actually starting to export a lot more commodities now rather than being an importing.
Okay.
As the standard of life sort of tends to catch up, we've become a bit more progressed. There's a lot more importing of, sadly, commodities, but what it means is they actually have to start exporting some to get their trade of goods up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of boosted the export market as well, which is great for the country.
Yeah.
And they've really heavily invested into agriculture in the last 3 years. And, that's where they see their future is getting the agriculture, internal agriculture.
Because anything will grow there. And
anything will grow. Wow. And they can then export it out. Mm-hmm. Philippines is very close, and there's 114 million population sitting there.
Yep.
So there's great opportunities for them to start exporting.
To the Philippines.
Yeah, food, to the
Philippines, yes. To China.
To China, to Australia, the whole lot.
What's their, what would be the best crops? Anything? They would do coffee, I know.
Mate, coffee is the tops. It's right up there as world-renowned as being some of the best coffee in the world.
Yeah, because you've got the altitude. Doesn't coffee actually need... Yes. It needs a specific altitude to grow between, doesn't it?
And they've got that in Goroka in the Eastern Highlands up there.
Yep.
And trust me, I am a coffee fanatic like coffee, these days, yeah. And they have some fantastic beans coming out.
Yeah, well, and I expect you can get them quite fresh, flowing straight out the highlands, roasted and in your cup within a day, maybe.
Some of them fall off the back of a truck, I believe, coming down the hill.
Coming down the hill. Well, that bumpy roads is a perennial problem in Papua New Guinea, I expect. Yes.
The Chinese have heavily invested in the roading system up there.
Oh, yeah.
And the ADB, the Asia Development Bank, have just poked a gazillion dollars in there, if you get that amount to get the...
Is China putting a port in as part of the Belt and Road Initiative?
There's looks of Chinese involvement there, but nothing signed off. The Americans are building a large new embassy down in the Port Moresby itself. So location-wise, PNG's got a lot going for it because they're sort of negotiating who's going to be the best for them long-term.
Yeah.
And, of course, because they're a pivotal point for security in the Asia-Pacific region.
Well, a lot of shipping goes past that sort of area, doesn't it?
Yeah. Around the corner, yep.
Yep.
So they can sort of ask for some fairly, what would you say, good terms for negotiation due to their geographic location.
Yeah.
And they are, and I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Anything that's going to boost the population when you've got 63% unemployment, you've got to look after the people.
Do most of the people live in a certain area, like on the southern coast or the northern coast, or are they pretty evenly spread all over? And
look, when you're flying around, it's incredible. You just come across a small village township here, hidden away, no road to it, nothing like that. I actually looked at a company called Zipline, which is an American medical drone delivery system, because up there, people are dying of malaria.
Yep.
They're dying of a lack of blood, snake bites, all that sort of stuff. And there's a system out called Zipline.
Witchcraft.
True. Yeah, people do die of witchcraft up there still, unfortunately. But you'd be able to fly out fresh medical supplies and drop them right at the point of impact so that it can fix that. And those are the sort of technology things which would be great for PNG.
Yep. Yeah, cool.
You know, there's a lady died Christmas Day. She had 2-3 kids already. And because she couldn't get a blood transfusion, she passed away Christmas Day. 3 kids are left, you know.
Yep.
All for the sake of what we take for granted, that you can just go and get it from a blood bank and get it. And they had the blood sitting in lay. They just couldn't get it to her.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no roads and it's too hard to get to.
So something that these sort of technology increases are going to catch PNG up. You've got to understand, New Zealand, what have we been? A couple of hundred years now to get to this point.
Yeah.
PNG's done it in half our time.
Mm-hmm.
So their rate of change is double what we've managed to achieve. So you've got to admire that. England, my goodness, they've been 2,000 years to get to where they are, haven't they?
yeah. Way back in the early 90s, remember a guy that lived here, Vince Black. Do you ever recall Vince Black? Lived in Golden Bay, worked on a farm. And he'd gone to PNG on a, what are they called, where you go and work over there for a couple of years. And VSA, gone on as a VSA. And he said, oh, I worked on a sheep and beef farm, so they put him in charge of a banana plantation, which he didn't know anything about. But he said that the rate of change in those days, and this is quite a long time ago now, it was very bizarre in the towns. Out in the countryside, everything was beautiful, people were really nice. But once you got into the town, it was like these two cultures that hit each other head on. And it was a very ugly collision, he said, because the locals were getting foisted with this Western type of town and had no real say in it. And then they were living in it, but they didn't really know how to live in it.
Unequipped.
But that was a long time ago now, but sounds like they're catching up. And
it is, well, a bit. But
if you call it catching up to us.
Well, at the moment, there's a huge migration of people leaving the villages and coming to the township. And in fact, they're looking at passing a law where if you don't have a house or a fixed abode to go to, you cannot travel into that. And they're looking at passing that into Parliament to try and stop this massive
influx. Big shanty towns will start soon.
There is. There's already shanty towns and areas where they just get 5 or 6 sheets of corrugated iron, they get their Tasman District Building Compliance certificate, and they nail it all together and live with it.
Is there actually something for them to do in the cities, or are they going there because it's cheaper to live, or what's the reason that they're leaving the villages? What's attracting them to the city?
Sometimes there's an opportunity of I wouldn't say gang involvement, I'd say crime opportunities there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, thefts of bags and things like that. If you're at the bus stop, they walk past and just cut the string and run with it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And if you've got kids, you've got to feed your kids somehow. There's no social security systems or services up there. There's no benefits. There's no nothing like that.
Yeah.
You are on your own, and good luck.
Yeah.
So that makes it a totally different to what we're...
Mm-hmm. I know. We don't know we're born sometimes.
Afraid to say that.
My children don't. One of them yesterday was hungry, and she had baked a cake earlier. And I said, have some cake. And she's like, I don't want cake. And I thought that's like a whole nother step of entitlement beyond Re-Antoinette with her let them eat cake. Is now my kid doesn't even want cake. Yeah. Yeah, terrible. I feel
tell you what,
eternal family shame.
You head off up there with a cake, everyone will eat cake.
Yep. We're about to get cut off. Rodney, thank you for coming on our show.
Pleasure, Mark. All the best.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Other great local programs from Fresh FM are available through the Access Internet Radio app or our website, freshfm.net.